Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How's everyone? Hi, Andy.
Hello. How are you?
I am great. After all of that, I got disconnected. So, were you able to hear the start of the show with the jingle?
I heard the jingle, yes.
Okay. Then welcome, everyone. This is what happens with live shows. This is why Hollywood went to pre-recording things. Just as I was getting Andy all prepped for the show, I got disconnected somehow. I don't know what happened, but we won't worry about it. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, March 19th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Now, today's show is being brought to you by A Book in 90 Days, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. You can get your copy of the 7-Step Roadmap to Publishing Success over at abookin90days.com. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, What You Must Know to Get Your Child into College, with my guest, Andrea Frimmer, an independent college admission counselor and owner of Prep for College Now. I'd like to first welcome all of you, my listeners. However, I see it, there are a number of you over in the chat room, and some of you are listening to the show live streaming. Some of you have called in, and then there are a few of you, maybe a lot of you, who are listening to the archives after the fact. In any case, I'm honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, please don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. One of the easiest ways is to click that follow button, and you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email of each episode. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, you name it. We talk about a lot of topics because all of those contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is What You Must Know to Get Your Child into College, with my guest, Andy Frimmer, the Get Your Kid into College lady, who has been in the education business for over 30 years. She was a special education teacher and, for the last few years, has worked as an independent college admission counselor. Andy earned a B.S. in elementary education from Temple University, a master's in education from Boston University, and received a certificate in college counseling from UCSD. That's the University of California at San Diego, for those of you who didn't know that. And Andy helps her clients reach for top schools, and she has been successful in placing students at UC Berkeley, UCSD, Boston College, MIT, Georgetown, Emory, Drexel, you name it, all of those schools many of us have heard about and perhaps aspired to attend. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Andy Frimmer. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Flora.
How are you? I thought it was pretty funny that just as I was talking about what happens with technology, it showed us what it can do. But that's the way it goes. So let's get started. because we have a lot to talk about. One of the things that I find interesting about getting into college today is when I think about my own college experience, I can't remember my mother doing too much thinking about it. I think she just said, you know, you want to go to school, figure out how to get the application completed, and that's kind of it. But that was a long time ago. So what's changed in college admissions from even 5 years ago?
Well, college admissions is much, much more competitive than it's been in the history of going to college. So many of the majority of the colleges now accept the common application, so it makes it much, much easier for students to apply to multiple schools. Mm-hmm. So on average, colleges are receiving about 10 times more applications than they have spots in the freshman class. And consequently, students are also applying to more schools. On average this year, about 12 schools per student. So the increase in the application pool is allowing colleges to be much more selective in whom they accept, making it much more difficult for the average student to find a quality school to attend.
That gets me to some of the myths, because we have many myths about college admission, but what are the two most common ones?
That just excellent GPAs and high SAT scores will guarantee acceptance into your colleges of choice. That's just not the case anymore.
So what are the three most important things then that our children can do to get into college? What are the things we need to be doing?
Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to take the most difficult classes they can in their high school career. They need to be able to handle the workload and get a good grade in the class. So if they can take honors or AP classes and do well, they should do it. They should not overdo the workload, but they should try to find a comfortable workload. Colleges like students who challenge themselves in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing to do is to use your summer vacation as a time to explore subjects that interest them, preferably participating in a summer scholar program in a college setting. Many schools offer these wonderful programs for high school students, and it's really an opportunity to experience college life and learn more about a subject of interest, and also to explore an area of the country that is very, very new to them. The programs can be anywhere from a few days to multiple weeks, and they can be from very inexpensive to very expensive. But there are many, many programs that are out there. It's just a matter of finding one that your child is interested in attending. And another very important thing is choosing an extracurricular activity that really means something to the student and get them to focus on it throughout high school, and because most schools do require some community service, and they prefer to see one activity that the child is significantly involved in rather than a series of activities that are just somewhat disjointed that they did a day here and a day there rather than having a real commitment to a particular cause.
So choosing an extracurricular activity can be, it could be a sport, it could be music, it can be any of those things, but what you're saying is what's important is to kind of focus on it throughout your high school
career.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And I want to emphasize what you said about summer vacation and spring breaks and things of that nature. Boy, there are so many programs out there for students to participate in, and I think they are absolutely wonderful, especially the ones that get a high school kid who's maybe never been to a college campus, that gets them on a college campus, and they get the feel of it. Maybe they get to go to mock lectures. My youngest daughter did a lot of that. And those are some wonderful programs, and every parent should be making sure their kids take advantage of it, which is kind of gets me to my next question. Why would a parent or should a parent want to work with someone like you for helping guide them through this process? I mean, can't we as parents just, isn't it easier for us to just get our kids enrolled in these programs you're naming and go from there?
You would think so, and many parents are up to the challenge, but it is an extremely time-consuming process in preparing their child, making sure that they don't make certain blunders along the way through their high school career, and then finding the appropriate colleges for their child. And many, many parents, many families, they have a two-parent working, and it is very, very difficult to find the time that they really need to focus in on what it is that they need to do. Mm-hmm. And many parents don't feel that they have the knowledge to really assist their children properly. And an independent college admission counselor has the knowledge and the skill set to help navigate the difficult task of preparing, selecting, and then applying to the appropriate colleges. Mm-hmm. And usually parents value my expertise and find me a value-added commodity. And I have some very satisfied customers.
Well, I like the fact that you have worked in the system, you've been through the system, and you understand it from both sides now. And that's extremely important. And I especially think parents need to realize that preparation for college starts before high school, before the senior year. And by hiring your services, we can find out what those things are, because there's certain things we need to be doing with our kids, or our kids need to be doing all along the way. Because, for example, right now if someone has a child who's, let's say, a freshman or ending their freshman year or about to become a sophomore, there's certain things they should be doing right now in the spring, correct?
Oh, absolutely. This is the time of year where we're picking classes for the following year, and mm-hmm. we're really need to make certain that we focus in on what are the correct classes and why it's important to take one level of math versus another level of math, or AP versus honors or a regular. It does make a difference when it comes time to the application process, especially when if your student is interested in a very difficult field like engineering and science. There's mm-hmm. tremendous competition in today's world for those excellent programs, and you have to be a very top student. And so if you're not accelerating your student in math or in science in the proper way, when it comes time to apply, they're not going to have the necessary coursework that they need to meet the requirements to get into the top schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, a lot of parents may be thinking, well, the high schools have counselors, so why do I need an independent counselor? But you just pointed out the amount of attention that you can give a student that, unfortunately, having been through the system myself as a teacher and having four kids that have been through the system, I know that the counselors just cannot give the personal attention that they need and deserve. So how can listeners reach you who are now thinking about learning more about your program and how they can you can help them? How should they reach you?
Well, thank you, Flora. I have a website, www.prepforcollegenow.com with the number 4. And I also have my phone number, 760-877-7200, and an email, Andy, with an I, at prepforcollegenow.com.
Okay. And let me repeat all of that. Your website then is www.prep, P-R-E-P, the number 4, collegenow.com. The phone number is 760-877-7200. And then you can email Andy at Andy, A-N-D-I with an I, at prepforcollegenow.com, correct?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Want to make sure I get that in, because sometimes when you're giving out information like this, you have to slow down and get it all in. But fortunately, people can re-listen to this. That's great. Now, some people think that there are some secrets to getting into college. What are the secrets?
There really aren't any secrets.
Oh, no.
It just takes proper planning throughout high school, and making sure that you find the colleges that are the right fit for mm-hmm. your student. Mm-hmm. And that is the key, is finding the schools that fit your student. And that's mm-hmm. what we as independent college admission counselors do very well, is mm-hmm. we know many of the schools that are out there, and we look at schools based on your parameters of what you as a family are looking for in colleges, and help you find the schools that we think are a great fit for your student.
Hmm. I was going to ask you about that later, but let's jump to that right now. What are those components when we're deciding if a college is a good match for our kids? What are those things we should be looking for?
Well, one of the first things we want to think about is, will your child be both comfortable and challenged there? And we want you to think about this for every college or university that you and your team consider, because it's really, really very important. So you want to look at the physical environment. Is it a college, a big college, or a small college, old or new? Which would your teen prefer? It's important. After all, he or she's going to be there for 4 years. We want to look at the academic environment. Does the college have the programs and or the major that your teen wants? Is it academically vigorous? What are the faculty's expectations of the students? What is the overall academic atmosphere? Is it a grind or is it a party school? You need to know what your kid will, how your kid will fit in and what will make them comfortable. And lastly, we want to look at the social and the cultural environment of the school. Mm-hmm. Is this university a rural school or is it a city school? And is it conservative or liberal? Is it religious? Again, we're back to the question, will your child be comfortable there? Students are encouraged to view diversity on college campuses as a good thing, and they need to feel comfortable if they're in an environment that is diverse rather than a situation where in their high school it's been fairly homogeneous. Mm-hmm. So you need to look at all of these factors when examining schools, not just the academics, but everything else that's involved there. Do they want a Greek life? Do they not want a Greek life? You know, do they want football teams? Do they not care about that? Mm-hmm. What type of extracurriculars do the schools offer? You know, if they play sports but they're not good enough to be on a college team, do they have club sports so that they can continue to do the sport that they love to do? If they do music, are there opportunities for them to do their music even though they may not be a music major? Mm-hmm. All of these things need to be looked into when looking at schools for students.
These are extremely important considerations. I don't think parents realize, unless they are working with you, of course, how important these are. And especially as a parent and as a former college student, of course, I think that physical environment, that is being comfortable there for your college life, is so important, and that social and cultural environment. Of course, we know they're there for the academics as well, but their chances of persevering and lasting on that campus long enough to actually graduate is dependent on these other factors you just mentioned. So I'm very happy that you shared those. I want to back up a little bit now because there's another thing that has come onto the landscape in the last few years, and that's social media. Does social media now have an impact on college acceptance?
Very much so. Colleges look at their potential students' social media pages. The first thing I tell my students is to clean them up and to make them as super clean as possible. Their Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, blogs, anything that they participate in need to be squeaky clean. So my rule of thumb is, if there's information on your page that would embarrass your grandmother, you need to remove it.
I'm laughing because I had to tell my grandchildren that. They didn't realize that grandparents are reading Facebook.
Yes, they are. So I suggest that they create privacy settings to keep the information that they don't want made public private. Almost every potential college nowadays will check out your social media pages, so it is extremely important to do that. But in another sense, you can use social media to help you with your application process. Many times, you can create a video about yourself, you can post it on YouTube, and you can link it as part of your application, especially if you are applying for something where you want to show your creativity and your knowledge about a particular thing, or if you've participated in a lot of science exhibits, or if you're a dancer, and you can really show off some of your talents in a way that they wouldn't normally see it, all through social media. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same with your blog if you blog. It can really show who you are and insight into your soul, so to speak. So you really can use your creativity to shine and create a competitive edge. And so I do suggest that if there's the possibility of doing something like this, you do it and you link it to your application, since almost every school nowadays takes applications online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm so happy you shared this, because I was thinking with social media just of the things that students need to not do, or things they need to, like you say, clean up and create those privacy settings. But I wasn't thinking of the positive side, how you can use social media to promote yourself, just as companies promote their brand. Then you have your talents, your skills, whatever you want to highlight. You can use social media to do that, and it's free and it's easy. That's a great tip. Thank you for that. I appreciate that one. How important is the application essay? Because I know that I remember that was a big piece when my kids were applying for college.
The application essay is one of the most important pieces of the application. It's mm-hmm. where the admission committee really gets an idea of who you are and what's important to you. So it's extremely important when you write your essay that you write it from the heart, and that it is done in such a way where it elicits an emotional response from the reader. Mm-hmm. When you can elicit that emotional response, then you've got your reader hooked, and and that is what you want. Now, I don't know that a lot of people understand how the application process works. I'll keep it really brief. There's usually a committee of people, and one person represents your child and becomes your child's advocate and advocates to the group why they should admit this student. So if there is a compelling essay that they can relate to and say, this kid has overcome adversity or has extremely creative, or we really want this kid, they have, you know, 400 or 500 hours of community service, and this is the kind of student we want on our campus. The essay really helps you shine, but there's usually more than one essay, so you get an idea of several different ways to express yourself on different topics, and you always get to choose the topics, generally. Mm-hmm. So it's extremely important that they are well-written, there are no grammatical errors, there are no spelling errors.
Ooh.
Very glaring errors. You're knocking yourself out of the ballpark before you start.
So the application essay, then, that's part of this application. You don't know necessarily which question they're going to ask. So they're going to ask you to write on a specific topic and or a choice of topics?
Usually you have
work?
A choice of topics, depending on the schools. If we're talking California UCs, they usually give you two. And you have to write on both of them. If it's a private school, they usually give you a choice of 5 or 6, and you pick the ones that mean the most to you. And if you're using the common application, you then usually a school will then have a supplemental essay that they want you to write, which is usually something like, why do you want to attend, fill in the name of the school, you know, and you write about why it is that you want to attend that particular school. That's usually what the supplemental essay is. Sometimes there's a second supplemental essay, but they're usually fairly short. And they do read them, and they make a difference.
Whoa. Now, let me ask this. Is this something that you can help the student with before they submit this essay?
Yes. Every single one of my students does not push that send button on their application until I have checked it and verified that every piece of information that is necessary is in there. It's extremely important, especially the common applications, because they go out to multiple schools at the same time. So I edit and help them with their essays. They write them. I do not write them, but we might discuss a topic. We might discuss various aspects of what should go in the essay, but all of my students write their own essays, but I do proof them and help them edit it. And in fact, when I've attended conferences with college admission people, they expect that these essays have been edited, and,
yes.
and they don't have a problem with them being edited, as mm-hmm. long as they haven't been written by somebody
right,
else.
Right, by somebody else. This gets me to kind of a technical question. When you're submitting your application online, are you able to start the essay, or I'm sorry, not the essay, the application, and then pause it, save it, and come back and finish it at a later date, or do you need to be prepared to finish the whole thing?
No, you can always save it. When they go in, they create their own account with a username and a password, and then all you do is you just save it, until you have it just right, and then when it's just right, that's when you push send.
Okay.
And when you do your essays, you do them in Word format, and then everything just gets attached in to LinkedIn to your application. It's very clean and simple nowadays.
Which gets me to the idea that we are just assuming that students are tech savvy. It sounds like part of this whole process is becoming tech savvy if you're not already. I mean, we kind of assume that all kids are, but perhaps they aren't. So this is something they will need to develop, not only for this process, but I would think even into college, because I can remember when I was teaching college, the English teachers weren't even accepting paper anymore. They had to submit their essays on disks. So tech savvy is an important concept, right?
Yes, and in fact, many colleges now that basic textbooks aren't even in book form anymore. You can get them in e-book format. Mm-hmm. So it's less expensive, and it's obviously much easier. You just have to carry your laptop or your e-reader or some sort of a book versus all of these heavy, heavy textbooks.
Right.
So
they're
working with a lot of publishers on getting the basic textbooks in that format nowadays.
That's true. So much to know and so much to learn, which is why, parents, we need to contact Andy Frimmer at www.prepforcollegenow.com, because this is a new day with college applications, as you've heard, and we've just touched the surface, because there's so many things that students need to be doing, I would imagine, even into elementary and junior high, intermediate, whatever levels, just before high school. There are probably things they need to be doing there too. So I want to thank you, Andy, for making time to share this with us, because this is very important and critical information for parents. Do you have any closing words? We're at the end of the show.
I want to thank you very much, Flora, for having me on your show today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Anything that I can do to help your listeners out there, I'm more than happy, willing, and able. Just please look me up online or give me a call.
Thank you. I want to urge listeners to join me again next week. We're going to have another exciting, informative show, as always. I want to thank our sponsor again, www.abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. I invite you to join me again next Monday, March 26, 2012, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. In the meantime, this is Flora Brown. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I am going to ask you to have a blessed week. And remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Color your life.